morning.
Good morning.
Today's Mickey Mouse's birthday.
Yay! Hi, Donald.
I can't make my voice go high enough to be Mickey Mouse. That's funny.
Today's Mickey Mouse's birthday. Yay!
There you go. There you go.
Morning, Eric. Hi, Dina Joe.
Hi, Tom. What you doing?
Hey, Tom.
What am I doing?
Hey. Yeah, getting ready?
Yeah.
You ready?
Turning things on.
It's Mickey Mouse's birthday, everybody. You gotta have a good day today on Missy Man Mickey Mouse's birthday.
Yeah. I think this was the day that the Steamboat Willie cartoon debuted.
Oh my gosh, and it's Minnie Mouse's birthday too!
Woohoo!
Ooh. And it's National Princess Day. It's my day, people. It's my day.
Oh, nice.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Old Man's Podcast Show with Dina, Joe, and Eric.
And Tuttles right now. They're the only ones here. Welcome,
aww,
everybody.
Well, we're
coming
happy.
Live,
number one.
Coming to you live from across the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
From Georgia to the state of Washington. Back to Colorado. Somebody said, why do you do that introduction when there's just you and Dina, Joe, and Eric in the chat room? It's like, well, because people
download
the show.
Yes.
Nice.
Aw, Dean.
Aw, jeez.
Post. Oh, cheese, what?
Aw, cheese. I said cheese. Aw, cheese.
Aw, cheese?
Aw, cheese.
Like, okay.
Well, what am I doing here? Fingers are getting in the way.
Mickey and Minnie joke. But I can't tell it here. Okay.
Oh.
One of those kind.
One of those kinds of jokes, huh? How come I can't get this to... Oh, there we go. Oh, right. Oh, try to get the music cued for later. All right. Get the music cued up for the music show later. There we go. Okay. Got the big, these big old fingers out of the way.
Oh, my word.
Tony!
Did you do that before the show?
What?
Can't you be ready?
You're expecting me to be prepared
before the show? Yes, before 8 o'clock. Oh. All you have to do is push one little button. And that's all you got to do.
I get
Everything
the music
else is up and ready.
I get the music queued up and ready to go with 1 minute to go.
Oh, my God.
And,
And you're still goofing around.
I'm goofing around. And then I've got the intro music runs 3 minutes. So I figure I got 3 minutes to get everything kind of lined up before I start talking. I mean, I can go that long.
We are so total opposites. I have everything on. I have everything ready. Everything's my coffee's where it needs to be. Everything's on. My open, everything's open. I just can't. I can't handle it if it's on. I'm trying to open up everything at one time. No. Mm-mm.
Oh, no, not me, man. I'm scrambling. I'll get up. Geez. Like this morning, I got up. I was up about 4:30. So I'm up. I do the dishes. I clean the kitchen. I make the coffee. I come in the studio, I turn on the lights, I sit down, I turn on the computer, click on the soundboard, start reading stuff, looking around, looking at this, looking at that, you know, just kind of yawning, you know, scratching my head. I go, I need to go put oil in my beard. So I go put oil in my beard and I come back, and then I start goofing around with you and messaging. And,
here I'm thinking the whole time, you're ready. Oh, he's ready. He's prepared. He's got everything done.
Ah, heck no.
Oh,
I'm goofing around, and then I look at the clock. I go, oh, it's 6:45. I got time. I got time. So I go get it, refresh my coffee, and I
welcome
come back.
Welcome.
I open the refrigerator.
I'm sorry, Glenn.
I open the refrigerator and look and see if I got something in there to snack on. And I come back. I sit down, and then it's like 5 minutes to go. I go, oh, I still got time.
Oh my gosh, no.
And then I give you the countdown, 3 minutes, three, 2 minutes, 2 minutes. And then at 2 minutes, I turn on Podbean. I go to the live shows. I get the music. I start getting the music set. I start getting everything. 1 minute to go. Then I really start panicking. I start hurrying. Oh my gosh, I got to hurry up. And then it's like 7, hit the start, hit the cheers. And then I go, oh, I got to get the music going while the cheers are going. So I'm fumbling around trying to get the theme music ready. And then as the cheers die down, the theme music's ready to go. Oh, yeah. It's a science. It's a science, I'm telling you.
No. At least you wait. Prepared.
You wait. The day will come when we'll be sitting across the table and we're doing the show, and you'll be sitting there and you'll be all panicking.
Hi, Ralph. I'll be like going my thumbs and fingers.
You go, come on, let's go. Isn't he ready? Is he getting everything ready? Or any...
Get over here. Hurry up.
Where's my mic? Does he have my mic plugged in? What's going on? Come on.
Oh, come on. I'd be driving you crazy. I'd be like, I want it ready. I'm done.
And you know who's worse than me, though? Grammy. Grammy's worse than I am, because you know how I am. I'm waiting till the last minute, and then as the minutes are clicking off, you know, I'm going, hey, I'm going live for about 30 seconds. She goes, I'm coming.
You know? Oh my gosh, you two would drive me crazy. But you guys are retired, so it is a whole different thing. Yeah. But that's how I like when I. That's how I was. Even when I was at work, and you had 3 different computers you had to use, and all 20 different passwords on different things you had to open up, and it took literally 10 minutes to get everything ready. And you had to be punched in and on the phone lines at a certain time, and it's like I had to be there early so that I could get my get everything ready so that I was prepared and calm and ready to kick some butt.
Yeah. Well, see, remember, I'm an old quality guy. I'm a quality guy. And, you know, we'd show up like when I was doing the bridge work, you know, we show up, the everybody's working, quality. The boulders are working, everybody's working on the bridge. It's just a hive of activity, you know. And then you notice this guy walking up in a vest, you know. What was that? You all right, Eric?
That's sorry. Eric.
I was trying to clear my throat.
Oh.
Should have muted.
But anyway, so everybody's busy working and a lot of activity going on, and this guy comes strolling up in a yellow vest with a hard hat on, you know, with a cup of coffee in his hand,
thinking he's the boss because he could do that's whatever me. He wants.
We are the boss. Like I'm walking.
Well, you're not the boss of me.
And the guy goes, hey, you know, we started, so, you know, it's about, you know, 8:30. I come strolling onto the job. So, hey, you know, we start around 6 around here. Okay, good. You know, I just, yeah, I'm the guy when you drive by construction sites.
IJ baby.
You see everybody, you know, everybody standing around the pit, you know, looking in. You got like one guy or two guys actually working. You got three guys standing around watching.
10 of them standing around looking at nothing. It's like,
right.
What are
you guys doing? I'm the guy that when I came rolling up in a truck, all of a sudden everybody starts working.
Yeah. I always wonder what is that little powwow going on over there? They look like they're doing nothing.
Just people sitting around talking about what they did the other day and all this and that. I mean, I've been in on those conversations.
They're like, wait, watch me control traffic.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, we used to drive around in these little Ranger trucks. And, you know, we had a little emergency light for the top of it, you know, like, and we're on a construction site. We're checking out a bridge that's in the middle of the freeway. Well, you got to have flashing lights on your car, you know, so you don't get ran over and this and that. So, you know, so I'm driving along and we're working for Caltrans. Caltrans is our customer. So we have Caltrans ID, and that's the California Transportation Company. And, you know, the department in California takes care of all the roads and everything and the bridges and that. So we're driving along, and there's a lot of traffic. It's all congested and everything. It's going, what the French toast is going on up here, you know? And everybody's all backed up. I look at my watch. I go, man, I got to get going. I got to get to the job site. So what do? I throw the flashing light on top of my truck and it just go around everybody. Go around everybody. I get, hey, what are you doing? Hey, oh no, that's Caltrans. Let him go. That's Caltrans. See ya, suckers. Yeah.
Something important. Yeah.
Yeah, I had to get there before the coffee was all used. Oh, before the coffee was good. Yeah, yeah. Oh, it was fun. It was fun. Yeah.
Lots of bosses are the tallest people.
Everybody else in the ditches. Yeah.
He is big. He's big. Did you see him next to me? He's big. He's a big man.
A big man.
That beard. Yeah, I thought I was tall. He's tall.
Yeah, but I don't have the wingspan you got though.
No, you don't. I know. My limbs. I got those long limbs. I'm like that thing out in front of the used car dealership.
Now I think of you more as Kevin McHale from the old Celtics team. You know, you're a defensive player, you're blocking all shots and all that stuff. Yeah.
Bam, 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 bam.
Well, it's like in the video we did when we met, you know. We're doing that little intro video thing, and you grabbed a hold of me. It's like, no hugs. And it's like, how many times did she wrap her arms around me? Wow, good grief. Yeah. Eh, you know, it's all
fun. What they're made for.
It's all fun. Hey, you know, I was looking at birthdays for today. You know, yes. I just went through, because that's your thing. I mean, you look at holidays and all that, and I was just curious. I was looking at what birthdays. And I noticed an interesting thing when you're looking at birthdays, you know, who had birthdays. Ooh. Well, everything, you know, you're going into, you know, I mean, they go back.
Hi, Rockin' Al.
They go back into 1600s and that kind of stuff.
Welcome back, Tony.
And all these birthdays that you see, you know, in 16, 17, 1800s, early 1900s. I mean, it's like all these... You know, these inventors and physicists and, you know, scientists.
Welcome, Ansbag.
And, big political leaders and all this and that and, you know, inventors. And I'm going, oh, my gosh. So I'm going along, you know, and you get in the 1900s and it's the same thing, you know. And then you get to the 10s, the 20s, the 30s, and you start hitting the 50s. All you see from the 50s to current anymore on the birthdays, famous birthdays, athletes and entertainers.
Yeah.
There's no more engineers. There's no more inventors. You know, I don't know. There's no, you know, there's nobody. All it is entertainers and sports figures. And I thought,
because
that's all that
people want and kids want to grow up to be nowadays.
I guess. I don't know. Where are all the inventors? Did we stop inventing stuff? No, we haven't. I mean, everything moves forward. I just thought that was an interesting observation.
Hmm.
Interesting observation by the old man.
It is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, there you go. So what kind of holidays do we have lined up for today?
Well, one of the biggest ones is the Great American Smokeout. The American Cancer Society challenges smokers to give up cigarettes for 24 hours. So for all of you who have quit smoking, congratulations to you. Good job. You can stop it. And for all of those who are trying, I understand that it's probably something extremely hard to do, but you can do it.
It's an addiction. It's an addiction.
Yeah, and usually that addiction goes, you know, they always say like they replace it with something else, like eating or something, and it's just hard to just stop it, I guess. And
you know what's funny is my parents smoked. I mean, they smoked as we were growing up, and all their friends smoked. Everything you watched on TV, people were smoking and drinking and all this and that. But I never did smoke. And the one thing that impacted me was when we were in health club in like junior high, we were talking about health and that. Uh-huh. And they were talking about the lungs and how the lungs have those little tiny fibers in them that, you know, separates the oxygen from the air we breathe. And they were talking about how when a foreign substance goes into your lungs, like cigarette smoke, it actually knocks those, it's heavier than air. So it knocks all those little fibers down in your lungs and they don't get back up. They stay knocked down. And so you start losing your the ability to, and that impacted me so much as a kid. I just went, man, I don't want to knock those little things down in my lungs. That's crazy. Isn't that something? That's the one thing in health class that really stuck in my head as a little kid. Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, but we played like we were smoking.
We used the little box of those, what was it, candy cigarettes?
Yeah, the candy cigarettes. Yeah.
We'd walk around. Hand out and give you. I see them every once it was around.
They still make them?
Yes. I see them at Big Lots of all places. You know, they have them. Right. They'll have one whole table and it's all old-fashioned candy.
That is interesting. I mean, yeah, they're still around. We'd run around and act like we're smoking.
Yeah. You know?
Because the candy cigarettes had the little the one little end that looked like it was on fire, you know, like the ashes part. Yeah, Popeye cigarettes. Oh. I don't remember Popeye cigarettes, but yeah,
that's probably what they call them. Yeah, Glenn said he tried to replace the cigarettes with baby carrots, and he still smokes, and his eyesight is phenomenal.
Exactly. That's funny. Exactly. So what else? Yeah.
So, and it's Mickey and Minnie's birthday. Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse's birthday.
What? Hey! Yeah. Happy birthday!
Happy birthday, Minnie and Mickey. Thanks for making us smile. And living in the happiest place on earth.
The happiest place on earth. Oh, I do remember seeing that the... I do remember seeing that
spit it out.
The cartoon, Steamboat Willie. Steamboat Willie premiered.
Oh.
On this day, I don't remember the year. Let me see if I can find it.
Maybe that's when they were.
Is that the birth of Mickey?
Let me see. I'll click on it.
Maybe that's the birth of Mickey Mouse. I don't know.
Yes, Steamboat Willie. November 18, 1928.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Wow.
That was when it was. But God, have you ever been to Disneyland or Disney World?
I've been to Disneyland in Anaheim, California. Yeah.
Disneyland. Oh my gosh. I think it would be the funnest place. Don't you think if you had like 20 of your closest friends and that place was just all yours, you could just ride you want to go on and laugh and grab some candy and go over here and laugh and then find that secret door to that secret restaurant that only special secret people can get into. Have you heard of that? There's one of those there.
And no kidding. No, yes. I've never heard of that.
Because they do not sell, alcohol. At least they didn't. I don't know if it's something that's
strange. I don't think they do. No,
they don't sell alcohol there. And there's one door and I can't remember where it is. And it has a number on it. And it's a special place where only special people could go in there. And I can't think that they sell alcohol in there. And like special food, but it's like a secret. You have to know the code and whatever. I don't know. One of those things.
Yeah. Well, that'd be fun to find that spot.
Yeah, but just to be able to go on all the rides and not be running all over the place and then go on that little island, you know, that's so boring. I'm like, oh, I don't want to go on that island with all those kids. But then you'd be able to have it all to yourself and then you could be like, what's that? Captain Hook and those guys and yeah.
Peter Pan.
That'd be fun. Peter Pan and Tinkerbell and oh my gosh.
You know, we stood in line and went on that ride Space Mountain.
Oh my god.
I'll never do that again. That ride is
so scary.
It's all in the dark, so you don't know where.
It's all in the dark. You can't see.
You get whiplash and everything else, man. It messes up your back.
Yeah, you don't know what's coming. Oh my gosh, poor Aaron. So he wanted to go to Disneyland so bad, and we finally went. And I think this was, it was probably 10 years ago. And he said, I want to go on Space Mountain, but he really didn't research it and know that, it's first of all, it's in the dark. I thought that poor kid was going to jump out of his seat. He was so scared. And finally, you know, you get out of there and they take your picture at the end, you know, and you're like,
Yeah.
Oh my God. He was terrified. He wouldn't go on any more rides. He wouldn't. He's like, him and grandma went to the Lincoln thing, and they went on the Jungle Boat and just simple things. And then Lewis and I went off and did our thing. But yeah, oh my God, that is the scariest ride. Yeah. Cause you don't know, like with the roller coaster, at least you can see the ups and downs.
Exactly. You can brace for the turns.
Exactly. You know,
Space Mountain, you can't.
Nope.
Mm-mm. And next thing you know, your neck is snapping, your back is broke. And yeah. Oh
my
man.
Gosh,
I tell you
it's
what.
Terrible. It's
yeah.
Terrible.
I got off that thing and actually Grammy was messed up after she rode down.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
You know, because she's got a sciatica problem. And boy, just made that. Because she didn't know how to go. You know, she didn't know where to go. And Space Mountain.
That is not a happy place, Space Mountain.
No, that is not. You know, and the funny thing is when you watch people getting off it, you know, the little kid, and there ain't nobody with a happy face, a happy look on their face when they're getting off that thing. Because nobody knows. Everybody's caught off guard. You know, everybody's caught off guard and all that stuff. It's crazy stuff, man. Yeah. I can't, you know, and the thing is we stood in line for other rides too, but that's the only one that stands out because it was such a traumatic experience.
Exactly. It hurt your body. Yeah. For the rest of the, yeah, exactly.
I remember we went to the Star Wars thing. And that was kind of cool because they had
stormtroopers coming after you,
walking around. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like you're in the middle of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're all you're sitting in a line and there's like five rows of you and it kind of moves up and down and all around, but it's nothing like, but it's weird. It's like, they're coming to get you. And Aaron will tell you, yeah, they showed grandma, they're coming to get you. They showed you. You're the bad person, grandma. I'm like, oh my God.
Had a couple of stormtroopers walk up on me. Do you have ID? It's like, excuse me, show us your ID. And I was like, so I went out and played along with them. Oh, okay. Here's my ID. Okay. All right, you're okay. You got your proper ID. Okay, we'll be watching you. You know, I mean, it's like, hey, geez.
Yeah, and there's those real ones, the guys that are walking around.
That's the guys that, stop.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of fun. Oh, and you know, that wicked, I don't know if she's the Wicked Queen or the Wicked Witch or somebody from, I think it's from, I don't know, from Snow. I don't know which one it is, but she was walking around. And I walked up, she was walking towards me and I walked up, I go, hey, hi. She goes, step aside, peasant. I mean, what? I mean, they are in their characters.
Yes.
They're in their characters. I was going, hey, so can I get a picture? No. I mean, she just, not until you bow down. I mean, she was totally into it. So, you know, you got to play along with them and that. But she didn't break character and everything. I mean, it was fun. It was fun.
Yeah.
And, it was a blast watching those things. I saw a video of a lady. And who was the guy? One of the cartoon characters, one of the guys. I don't remember who it was. I don't know. It wasn't Peter Pan, because Peter Pan's a kid. I don't remember which it was, but this guy and this girl comes up to him, you know, saying, you know, can I get, like, Prince Charming. It was like Prince Charming. And she comes up and wants to get a picture with him. And he goes, sure. And she put her hands on him, you know, and he goes, no, don't touch me. And she goes, excuse me. He goes, nope. She goes, are you kidding? He goes, no, I'm not. Lady, this is for kids. Get away from me. You go away. Get away from me. And he chased her off. And I thought, well, there you go. There you go. No inappropriate touching and all that stuff. And I thought, well, there you go. But they are hoots. They are so fun. I mean, those people that stay in their character. And I mean, I was afraid of that lady. You know?
Yeah. She didn't cast a spell on you. She'd
call down the guards on me or something, you know? I don't know. Yeah, but that is a fun place. I really enjoyed going. It was a blast.
Did you remember right before that darn COVID, we were going to go. It was like a week and a half.
Oh, I remember you saying that.
I was supposed to do a live something for Dreadnought when I got there, like a live reporting. You guys were, I was going to call in and do a live reporting, and then COVID hit and they shut everything down and they're like, here's your money.
And, yeah, well, at least you got a refund.
Yes, yes.
Man.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun going and seeing everybody. People having good times, laughing and giggling.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Seeing little kids just be like, oh, and they see the little princesses. And today is also, on top of Mickey and Minnie, it's also National Princess Day.
Oh.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly. I would have loved it, but it didn't happen. It's a national.
Well, so you're kind of feeling like today's your day, then, isn't it?
I know. It
hey,
is. My day.
Oh, my goodness.
It's National Princess Day. Oh, I should have a little tutu on. That's and I have my little magic wand.
Hey, and speaking of princesses,
Mr. T. Oh, that was perfect.
There's Mr. T. Speaking of princesses,
not Mr.
It's Mr. T. Ah, T-Bone, you came in at the wrong time, buddy.
That is not.
Hey, this time next week, man, you're going to be cooking with Ava.
Oh, my Ava's gosh, I know.
Be with you. That's going to be so much fun. She's going to help helping you in the kitchen.
Oh, it's going to be so much fun. Keeping my fingers crossed, and I just saw something that said that there's some big storm out over, it will be like over Eric and stuff. So I'm just hoping it just clears up and there's no problems.
Now, where are they coming from? Where do they
Alabama.
Live? Alabama, really? Mm-hmm. Huh. I didn't know that.
Yep.
Mr. T, I can leave if you want me to. Oh, no, we were just saying that I just said it's Princess Day and you come in. So, no.
Yeah, he was just being silly.
Yeah. No, you're welcome, T-Bone. You know that.
And why do it says married to a Scorpio support day? Do they have one for every single sign, or is it just Scorpios are terrible to be married to?
Oh, I don't know. We'd have to talk to
a Scorpio or somebody
Poe.
Who's
We'd have
married
to talk to
one?
Poe about that. We'd have to talk to Poe about that because I don't know anything about that stuff. Yeah. Mm-mm. She'd have to give us the insight. I don't know.
Well, that's it is today. Married to a Scorpio support day if you're married to one.
Strange. Strange.
It's also apple cider day. I don't care for apple cider.
Oh, I do. I like me some apple cider. Yeah, we have some. And Grammy fixed it up the other day. She goes, hey, you want some hot apple cider? Sure. You know, so she heats it up and puts a little whatever spices she puts in it. She puts some spices in it. And, it was good warm. It was good. Yeah. Yeah, I like apple cider. And then I like drinking it cold.
2319. Ew. Oh, well, okay.
Yep. I like drinking it cold in a glass. It's like apple juice, you know. Yeah, it's good. And actually, as a matter of fact, when I was eating that salsa with the Trinidad scorpion peppers. Yeah. You know, that stuff's just, you know, dissolving my tongue in my mouth. And the apple cider kind of soothed it down. Yeah. Made my tongue stop hurting.
Well,
and that
that's good. Hi, Shells, too. Welcome. It is also this day. I'm going to put it in the chat. Bam. And it looks like a soup. I don't know. It says, be a superhero and prepare your taste buds to be delighted with this national Visionnose?
Night? Nays?
Visionnose? Vision night? Visionnaise day? Visionnaise? Yeah.
I have no idea what that is.
But it looks like a creamy soup with sliced leeks on top of it. That's what it looks like. I don't know. Does anybody know what that is? Chef Glenn? Do you know?
I like cream soups. I like cream soups. Cream of potato, cream corn.
Yes, that one. Cream of corn. Potato. But it has to have like nice chunks of potato.
Cream of mushroom. I like those kinds of soups. Never heard of that soup before. Didn't you? Yeah. I'm surprised you didn't Google it.
Well, I can click on it. Let me see what it says.
All right. Tell us what it is. Vichy sonne, I don't know.
We recognize the relish, the hearty soup made using pureed leeks, I'm sorry. I know this word. Parade leeks onions, which are the same thing, aren't they? Aren't they the same family? Parade leeks onions, potatoes, cream, and chicken stock. Oh, that doesn't sound bad.
And no, that don't. That sounds good.
Vichyssoise is how they're saying to say it. Hi, Dick Gray. Let's see. Vish, and then it says I, and then Swayze.
I thought leeks looked like onions, like long
green
onions.
Big,
green onions, thick, yeah.
Yes. Maybe Cummings enter the room. Welcome. Yeah, that's, and I think they're of the same family, I believe. Snowman was prepared to eat my child. Oh, Glenn, that soup I put in the chat, I think. Yeah, leeks looks similar
maybe
to celery.
Maybe Cummings asked Jimmy. Hi, Jess.
This is twice, I think. Hi, Jess. Hi, everybody. Anyway, that's what it is, and it says it's French.
Huh.
But it sounds good. Leeks, onions, potatoes, cream, and chicken stock.
Sounds good. It definitely sounds good. Yeah. Hey, and speaking of cooking, by the way, next Wednesday is going to be a Thanksgiving edition of Cooking with Dina, Joanne, and Grammy. Next Wednesday, our Thanksgiving edition. Right?
Yes, it'll be fun. We're talking about ways to make that day easier so you're not spending the whole day in the kitchen, and what to do with turkey leftovers and Thanksgiving leftovers. And hopefully we'll have some surprise visitors that'll come in and help us out a little bit, being Shonda. And I hope Tuttles will be able to. I know he has a bunch of great ideas. I think he has a bunch of great ideas. I thought he said he did. I hope. So, and Grammy, of course, and yeah, we'll have fun. So if you guys have any ideas that would make it easier so we're not spending the whole day in the kitchen and we can enjoy each other, let us know next Wednesday. It'll be fun.
Next Wednesday. Yeah. I deboned a turkey.
I deboned a turkey. Yeah. Easier
to get a fantastic gravy and, of course, saves a lot of oven space.
Yeah.
There you go.
Hi, John Gale. Yeah, I'm thinking about putting it on the smoker if it'll fit so that I have oven space. Put it out there to cook. So I'm hoping.
Man, just fire up that pizza oven and roast that thing in that pizza.
Oh my God. It would the outside that I would have to we would have to I don't know how to do it. It's too big for that pizza oven. You wouldn't be able to put any wood in there.
And the outside of the turkey would be really super crisp.
Oh. Sorry, Glenn. It was given to me, I have to say, so I was pretty lucky, but that's what I'm thinking of doing just so that I have some oven space. Or you could do it on a barbecue.
You could.
On low.
That turns into a regular oven. I mean,
and you have a little smoker box. You put that in there, turn it into a little smoker.
Well, you could just use it as an oven and roast it in there. I mean, it's just
cover it and marinate before cooking it. I am brining it for a couple of days. I have to, in fact, I have to take it out today. You guys, if you know how big your turkey is and know and count backwards on how many days you're supposed to take it out, because this bird is like 22 pounds and I have to take it out. It says 6 to 7 days to defrost. So I need to take it out. So know when to take your bird out. So you have enough time.
I just saw a thing that said, you know, if it was 20 pounds, it needs to go in the refrigerator. It needs to go in the refrigerator today or tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and so it can thaw out. Otherwise, it's not going to be thawed.
Yeah, DeGray's a real manly man. He eats his raw. Asha, welcome back.
Manly man. Well, that's right. You guys don't have Thanksgiving over there in England.
No, they have in Canada. Oh, no. Who are you talking about?
Man Cave.
No, we were just. Oh, well, okay.
I saw Man Cave pop in, and I thought, you don't have a.
I know, like in Canada, they have their Thanksgiving in October, which Tuttles told us.
Because
they don't celebrate Thanksgiving on the fourth Thursday of November like we do. hey, Mr. A. And I don't know whether any other countries have Thanksgiving, even if it's at different times of the year.
Easy, Asha, easy. Celebrate bloody American traditions.
Code 2319 lives in England too.
Yes.
What do you mean, man cave? You guys don't celebrate the 4th of July over there?
Oh, you're terrible. Those are funny words.
That's funny.
I celebrate.
Glenn in Canada says he celebrates 4th of July.
Yeah, I'm doing a special Turkey Day on Thursday to celebrate my U.S. friends. Oh, there you go. Yeah, Tuttles, yeah. It's my birthday. I don't know. When's your birthday, Glenn?
It's my birthday. I'm like,
I'm trying to read what's going on.
It's going fast.
Oh, Guy Fawkes, man. I love that Guy Fawkes guy. Yeah.
Glenn says his birthday's July 4th.
With all the fires, the bonfires, Guy Fawkes. Yeah. Oh man, I got to tell you, it's something. Our media here in the United States is they're just crazy. They're crazy.
Yes.
Guy Fawkes Day? Isn't that?
Hi, Sean James.
Oh yeah, that is in November, isn't it? Guy Fawkes Day. Yeah. Well, I remember at the end of the election, at the end of the last presidential election, everybody was saying, "Look, they're celebrating, you know, Biden becoming president in the UK. Look at the celebrations." And the British media goes, "No, this is Guy Fawkes Day, you nimrods."
It's Guy Fawkes Day.
Yeah.
Just to let you know, not Fox.
I said that, Guy Fawkes.
Fawkes.
Fox.
Not Fox.
No, I know what you're saying. That's the guy that tried to blow up Parliament. He was going to blow up Parliament. Yeah. There's a three-part, four-part series out there. I don't remember what company put it out, HBO or something, but it's called, the name of the series is called Gunpowder. And it's about Vendetta? I think that movie had something to do with it too, but this is a little TV series that starred the guy from Game of Thrones, and he plays Guy Fawkes. Yeah, and it was a pretty good little series, give you an insight of what was going on. So what's going on, Asha? What's going on?
Yeah, man, I'm good, you know. I've just come back from work.
Oh, so good.
I'm just sitting here, just chilling. It's been a day, I'll tell you that.
Oh, has it? Oh, sorry, man.
Not a stressful day, but just a day of just...
A day. You're glad it's over. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Yeah, those are the days you want to just get home, sit back, pour yourself a little refreshment, and kick your feet up, kick your shoes off, kick your feet up, and go, "Oh man, I'm glad that."
You know, when you was working, did you ever have to hold interviews?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Now, yep. Do you know what makes me laugh about it? Hold it when the shoe's on the other foot, and you see that person there.
Uh huh.
You're like, mate, stop coming through with the ball. you're just looking, you're like, "Oh, I can see right through it," but obviously I can't really say anything, but you just say like, "Yeah, this is
not too bad." I used to do volunteer work for this organization called Constructing Hope.
Hi, Tulin.
And they used to, they're an organization that helps people that have gotten out of jail or prison, you know, incarcerations. They've gotten out of it and they're trying to get back into society, and they would help them in the trades industry, you know, help them, train them up so they could go be apprentices. And I worked with them for a little bit on how to do interviews, because these people, you know, they go into an interview, they ain't got a clue what's going on.
Right. That way, so, give me a job.
Yeah, I used to do that. So we do mock interviews. I'd have an office. They'd come and they would come walk. It'd be surprising. They'd come walking in. Hey, and then they'd come in and sit down. And I'm looking at them and going, wrong. No. This is not how you do this.
Yeah.
Go back out.
You're like, God. Well, do you know what? You can't harm a person for trying, you know?
No. And nowadays, if they're going to the interview, that's a good mark right away. They're showing up for an interview, you know?
You turned up. So.
Yeah, you turned up. That's a good mark right there, buddy.
We held something the other day, and we were scheduled, I think, for 6 people. I think 3 only turned up. And then when you just sat there and you're just like, well, at least 3 turned up.
Yeah. Are you interviewing people for your job?
Not for my job, but to be, because I'm on the manager of the section.
To work for your company.
Working for my company and under in my section. So like
back in the day, people would, I mean, you would call and say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not going to come in or whatever. People don't care anymore. They just don't show up.
No.
They don't care about your time. I'm sorry. Well,
like, no, people are a bit not as careless now, aren't they?
They don't care about your time.
But yeah, man. It's
that all goes back to training and how they were raised and that kind of stuff. You know, there's no accountability. They just feel they're entitled to anything and everything. Hey, I want a job. Give me a job. Oh, okay. And then when you do give them a job, then that's the first hurdle. The second hurdle is trying to get him to work.
Oh, yeah, right.
It's when they say to you, like, you say, oh, yeah, right, we'll give you a call later on, probably today or tomorrow, if you've been successful for the role.
Right.
And they're like, all right, then so what, you're going to call me later for one to let me know when I'm start? And I'm like,
you just didn't listen to what I said. Yeah.
Listen to what I've just said to you.
I just said that to you.
Dina, Joe, and Grammy do that to me all the time.
Oh, please.
No. Yeah. Listen to what I said.
Oh, yeah. We tell you that.
Not what you want to hear. It's what you're going to hear.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So, well, that was the thing. You know, I always carried around a notepad with me. And that way when I was talking and my boss is talking to me and he says, okay, I need you to I need you to do A, B, C, and then go down there and do X, Y, Z. And I'm sitting there taking notes.
X, Y, Z. Taking notes.
Z. Sorry. Funny story. When I was living there and working there, Man Cave, I was talking to somebody and they said that Zed. You know, they said Zed, and I'm going, I finally went, I had heard it enough, and I went, who is Zed? Who's this Zed guy? They go, no, you know, XYZ. I go, oh, you mean Z?
No, Zed.
But no, I used to carry around a piece of paper with me so I could write the instructions down, because I hated not doing what the guy wanted it to do, you know, what he wanted me to do. You know, I always hated missing something, a detail, because I never wanted that guy to come back and say, hey, what did you do? That's not what I told you to do, you know? Yeah. So I tell these kids that at that Constructing Hope, you know, when you get a job on a construction site, if they put you in charge of cutting wood, make sure you have a notepad and a pencil with you. So when they say, I need eight 2x4s cut to 7.5 feet, I go, you write that stuff down, because you don't want to, you know. You don't want to make a mistake, man. Yeah. And so, yeah. So, yeah. And, yeah. But no, it's hard dealing with it's hard dealing with people nowadays. It's hard.
Yeah.
I thought old people was hard, but
Yeah, the young ones that don't want to work. Yeah. Woody, there's no balance. Give me something in the middle, please.
I know. Call me just have like mid-range.
Yeah.
Mid-range. You know what I mean? We have some mid-range people in here. Yeah, I hear you. I know what you're talking about, man. I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's very hard to find people that really have any type of, I don't know, respect for themselves and others, that they just want, you know, they know everything isn't supposed to be given to you. You kind of have to do things in life. I think that's the biggest mistake, is when everything is handed to you at a young age and that's what you expect. And then the other people in the world have to deal with that. It's kind of hard.
It's like the people who turn up expecting to get everything. And like, if you say to them, look, clean the floor. I'm like, I'm not cleaning the floor. Well, mm-hmm. You've just started. What do you want to do? Do you want to run the shift? Go on, you go and do it then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You have to start somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's how we were taught growing up. I mean, you start at the bottom and you work your way up. You didn't need to have a college degree and all those other things necessarily, you know, but you did. You respected people and you worked your way up. And that's how you did it. I don't know.
Yeah, people come into a job hungry to work, hungry to learn. Man, those guys are like gold, you know. Yeah, those people are like gold, because I've had people like that.
And see what maybe Cummings says, we've had no problem keeping employees because we take care of them. That's another issue too, is the bosses that have an attitude because, hey man, I'm a boss and I got a title and I can do whatever I want to do, instead of saying, oh my gosh, you're a great worker, keep it up. Or, you know, and then when it comes to, hey dude, you know, you could have done that a little bit better next time. It's easier to listen to you. It's better. What you have to do both ways. You have to be a good boss and take care of your employees with just saying, hey, you did a good job. It's not hard to do.
So, saying that today, there was a massive spillage in the reproduce bit, and I was like, oh. So I go to this guy and he's got OCD and he's a bit of a clean freak, he's a proper neat freak, but at the time there was only him there to go and do anything, and I goes, oh mate, you couldn't just do me a favor, could you, and clean that up over there. He's like, oh, I says, I know it's your OCD, but listen, if you don't do this, it's everyone's ass on the line. So help me and help you. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So we did it. And then in the next minute, I caught him. I saw him again. I was like, you know what? I appreciate what you did, because I know you got the OCD and how you are with dirt and stuff. And you went above and beyond, and I respect you for that. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. That goes a long ways. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And that made, you know, that birthed all kinds of respect in his heart for you, Asha. Just that little bit of kindness, yeah, and saying a good job, you did a good job, you fought through it, and that, yeah, it's good stuff, yeah, yeah. You got to be I always tried to tell when my I had people in charge of groups and all that. I say, look, you're in charge of this group, but you're not going to get anywhere with these people unless you have the mentality that you are here to serve them. You're the servant to the people you've got below you. They go, what? What's that? What are you talking about? I'm the boss. Yeah, you're the shepherd. You're here to take care of these people, and if you treat them right and you treat them with respect, kindness, integrity, you know, they will work their butts off for you.
Exactly.
It's like a guy said to me today, is like I'm glad that you're running things, because I feel like things can be get done. And I'm like, I appreciate that, my man. I really do. But you're putting too much stress on me, because I know you like me and we get on very well, but don't trust me to get the job done.
Exactly.
It's like now everybody's now started to actually respect and see me around, and like, yeah. It's like there's a couple of people been skiving in the, I don't know what you guys would say for skiving, but you know, like just slacking off.
Yeah. Slacking off, yeah.
And I caught them slacking off today. And I goes up and I was like, look, come on. I know we all like to have an easy time, but you're making other people work quick, more, do more work than what you're doing. Now, how about this? If you don't see my face again and I don't see yours, we can get along nicely. And it's like, what do you mean by that? He goes, listen, let's just put it like this. If you're not seeing my face, I'm not seeing yours, that means work's getting done.
You're doing what you should be doing.
I had a boss, I had a big shot boss tell me the exact same thing. He goes, if you never see me, you know you're doing your job. But if you see me, something's wrong.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because like now I've got to kind of like let everyone know that I'm about. Like they've heard the rumors, but now I need to see the face. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're not their friend. You just hang out and chit-chat.
But
get your work done.
Everyone loves a chit-chat more than the next man, but you don't want to be that guy. Sure. You know, when you walk into the office and then everyone's he's like, quick, who's there, quick. Let's just run around and pretend like we look busy.
You know, I read this thing about the generations, and it's all cyclic. It's all going to go in a cycle. It all goes in cycles, you know. So we've got, you know, this generation of people that don't want to work. They want everything handed to them. But the generation that's coming up after them are almost opposite. They want to work. They want to get out there and do stuff. They understand that they've got to work for things. And it's all cyclical. It's all in a big cycle. It's all going to start. And we're a pendulum, you know. It swings one way, and then it swings the other way, and then it swings. Yeah. So, yeah, I think, and I believe that. I think it's all gonna peak and start changing and going back in the other way. Yeah, I think so. That's what I do. I did. Yeah. Hey, well, listen, man, Cave. We're gonna jump into.
Are you gonna have a cheeky root beer float, maybe?
Oh, that sounds good. That sounds good. No, actually, we're gonna go. Yeah, a little root beer float. Exactly. And I know what you're talking about. Yeah, we're gonna have a little root beer float. Yes, we are. 1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock. You know what time it is? Rock. Thanks for calling in, man. Okay, appreciate you, bro.
Day in music history. So get out there, order yourself up a couple of cheeseburgers with fries and a couple of root beer floats to wash it down. Here she is, ladies and gentlemen. The hostess with the mostest, Dina Jo.
All right. We're going to start Thursday, November 18th, this day of music history in the year 1968 with Mr. Glenn Campbell. By the time I get to Phoenix and Gentle on My Mind are certified gold. We are going to learn a little bit of about Gentle on My Mind. It was written and originally recorded by John Hartford and was later popularized by Glenn Campbell. In 1967, Hartford released the song as a single on RCA Records. The song then caught attention of Campbell, who recorded his cover version with a group of session musicians known as the Wrecking Crew. Campbell's cover of Gentle on My Mind peaked on the top 30 on the Billboard Hot Country Singles chart. Between Campbell's and Hartford's recordings, the song earned 4 Grammys. Here is Glenn Campbell with Gentle on My Mind. Hi, Joanne Tapp. Hi, Asha. Thanks for calling.
It's knowing that your door is always open and your path is free to walk. That makes me tend to leave my
Glenn Campbell bag rolled up and stashed behind Gentle your couch. On My Mind.
I kind of do remember that song. And it's more
I'm not shy. Yeah. Yeah. He was a good ballad singer.
Mm-hmm.
He was a good ballad singer. Glenn Campbell. Good voice.
Glenn Campbell. Yeah. And you know what's funny is that I'm learning a lot of is that a lot of these guys back in the 50s and 60s and they recorded, and they always recorded with these session musicians, they call them.
Yep,
like
yep.
These guys were the Wrecking Crew and whatever, and they weren't just their band. They were like, I don't know.
People that worked for for the studios. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
They actually, session musicians worked for the studios.
Oh, okay.
And the producers in that would actually go and pick the musicians they want to play with them, you know. And then if the artist had a, you know, if the artist goes, oh, well, I want to use this guy on bass and I like that. I want to use these guys. Then they'd pull them all in and do it. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Session musicians. Yeah, I guess there's good money in that, too, if you could do it.
Oh, yeah. You don't hear about it as much anymore. At least I don't. I know. And thank you for explaining that because I didn't really understand where these guys just hanging out or what.
So, yeah. Cool.
All right, then we're going to move on to number two on our list. In the year of 1970, English rock band Led Zeppelin is number one on the UK and US albums chart with their third album, Led Zeppelin III. The original cover and interior gatefold art consisted of a surreal collection of random images. Behind the front cover was a rotatable laminated card disc covered with more images, including photos of the band members, which showed through the holes in the cover. The distinctive cover was based on a suggestion of Jimmy Page's that should resemble an old-fashioned garden seating chart. Here is Led Zeppelin with Immigrant Song from their album, Led Zeppelin III. Hi, Miller. Oh, I love this song.
I do, too.
Aww.
This is my... Yeah! Let's do it. Ready? Led Zeppelin was the immigration song that me and Dina Joe actually just totally destroyed.
The Grayer called it Cats the Musical.
Well, don't you? You know, you can say you destroyed it. You don't have to say I destroyed it. Come on now.
If I'm going down with the ship, I'm taking you with me.
All right.
That was fun.
Okay, number three at our chart is the year 1972. Mr. Cat Steven goes number one in America with sixth studio album, Catch Bull at Four, and stayed there for 3 weeks. The title was taken from one of the 10 Bull of Zen, a series of short poems and accompanying pictures that are intended to illustrate the stages of Buddhist practice.
Welcome, Christ, beloved liberators.
Sir. Progression towards enlightenment in his only chart topper in the U.S. Here's Cat Stevens with Sitting from his album Catch the Bull of Four.
Now, I thought he was a Muslim. He was Buddhist? He was a Buddhist?
Yeah, well, this was the beginning of where he's started.
Oh, John Gale says he was a Buddhist. Okay.
Yeah.
I knew he converted.
Oh, I'm on my way. I know.
God, I love
Stevens had a great voice.
Yes, he did.
He's a good storyteller. All I know is all I feel like. This is Cat Stevens with City. Thanks, Cat.
Meow, meow. Oh, gosh.
I think he had like a near death. I think he had an accident or something and almost died.
And I'm trying to remember because we had it. It was earlier when we first started this.
We did another one, yeah.
Yeah, and he was talking about it was a near-death experience, and then he decided to change his life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Around. I wish I could remember. For something, I think water, like in water, something with water. Yeah. All right, number four on our list, 1978. American singer and songwriter Billy Joel hits number one with his sixth studio album, 52 Streets, and stays there for 8 weeks.
Hi, Zillers Show.
His first U.S. number one album was also the first commercial album to be released on compact disc by Sony Music and won Joel the 1979 Album of the Year. It was his first of four albums. Joel had topped the Billboard charts. Three songs reached the top 40 in the U.S., contributing to the album's success. Here is Billy Joel with My Life from his album 52nd Street. His music always seems so happy.
Yeah. This has a little happy beat to it, Nat. Billy Joel, My Life. Are you going to sing, Billy? There you go, buddy. Thanks, Billy. How that guy was able to lock in those women he married, I have no idea.
No, three models in a row. Oh, no.
And then that cook.
Yeah. Well, you know, she's like a model. Yeah. The two models and then the cook in the middle. Yeah. She was young, too.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Moving on to number five on our list, the year 1993, American rock band Nirvana recorded their first their MTV Unplugged special at Sony Studios in New York. Nirvana played a set list composed of mainly lesser known material and cover versions of songs by The Vaseline's, David Bowie, Meat Puppets, and Leadbelly. The album won a Grammy for Best Alternative Music Album in 1996. Here is Nirvana with their song Come As You Are from their album MTV Unplugged in New York.
You know, I don't know songs by their names. I know songs by their introductions. And when I was going, Come As You Are, I don't think I've ever heard. Oh, yeah, yeah, I've heard this song.
Come as you are.
Nirvana, Come As You Are. They were like a real groundbreaking group, Nirvana.
Yeah. You know. They were, and they like you know, DeGray said. I mean, they went out, they were up, and they went bam, and they were just out. It was crazy, but yeah.
Weren't they from the Chicago? Weren't they from the Seattle area? DeGray, weren't they from up here in the Pacific Northwest? I think
grunge.
They were.
Yeah, because they were the start of grunge, weren't they? I thought.
Yeah, grunge rock.
Maya, he says. Maya. All right, we'll go to number six, 1995. This is really interesting, this one. British rock band Queen's last album, Made in Heaven, debuts at number one in the UK. It was the band's first release after the death of lead singer Freddie Mercury in 91. Following Mercury's death, guitarist Brian May, drummer Roger Taylor, and bass guitarist John Deacon worked with vocal and piano parts that Mercury recorded before his death, adding new instrumentals to the recordings. Both stages of the recordings before and after Mercury's death were completed in the band's studio in Switzerland. The album debuted at number one. We already said that in the UK. It was quadrupled platinum, selling 1.2 million copies. And we're going to, just a little bit about the song, It's a Beautiful Day, that we're going to play. Years before Mercury started recording solo materials, he created a sound clip of himself experimenting on the piano in Munich in 1980. Later, the use of this album, the song was extended to 2 minutes and 32 seconds. The more classical sections without Mercury, improvised with John Deacon. So here is Queen with the late Freddie Mercury with It's a Beautiful Day from their album Made in Heaven. One.
It's going. You know, I thought I heard all of Queen's music. I don't ever remember hearing this song. Just be patient.
Birdies.
It's a beautiful day.
There you go.
The sun is shining.
It's a beautiful day.
I feel good. Queen.
What a beautiful voice.
Freddie Mercury was a genius when it comes to music.
What a beautiful voice.
Gosh. Yeah, the guy could sing. He could write. I mean, he was just.
I hope you play that song Friday. I want to hear that. That sounds good.
Yeah, it might be closer to the end of the. But I'll try to make sure. I get it played for you before you bug out. Try to play that for you.
Maybe before this one, and I don't know if this one is for the DeGray, because I know how much he likes Mariah Carey and all you guys. Oh, and you know, all you guys out there, John Gale and everybody. But and for number seven, our last one on the list is American singer Britney Spears. She scored her second U.S. number one album with Britney, The album's success made her the first female artist in music history to have her first three studio albums debut at the number one. This record would, however, would later be broken by Spears herself with her fourth album, The Zone, which was started in the same position. So here is Britney Spears with this, I'm a Slave for You. Oh, just for you, De Grey. I know maybe
young, but I'll turn it up for you, De Grey. And I need to do what I feel like doing. So let me go and just listen. All you people look at me. I'm a slave for you.
Oh, Mr. T, it's his jam.
Britney Spears.
funny. There you go. That's our list for today, Thursday.
And it's funny that you bring her up on this. It's funny that you bring her up on this list today because the birthday of Mickey Mouse, and she was in the Mickey Mouse Club.
Yes.
Yeah. There you go.
Now she's a slave for you. She's all grown up.
We tied it all together. There you go.
No, sorry. No.
Welcome, Robert. Oh. Nice to see you. Thank you. Thank you. Good job, Dina Joe. Yeah.
Thank you.
That's always a lot of fun. That's always a lot of fun. Hey, that's, you know what I was thinking? Today. How would you feel? How would you feel if you just, you know, you kind of woke up or, you know, you go outside and all of a sudden you notice that the moon is 25% closer to the Earth? How would that make you feel?
I'd be like, whoa, what happened?
That's whoa, so cool. I know. Can you imagine? Whoa. Whoa,
what's going on? I need to Google what's going on. What's happening?
Yeah. I mean, that would be awesome for me. I would be totally thrilled if the moon was it just moves in and stays there for a few thousand years. That would just be awesome. Yeah. And then there's a thing when it deals with electromagnetic wavelengths and all that, when you're dealing with light. There's a thing called the inverse square law. So the closer that the moon actually gets, the reflection of the sun off the moon where we get the moonlight, you know, lights the Earth up on the phone. It would be, oh man, it would be so much brighter. It would be, I mean, it'd be so much brighter with the moon like that.
You would know something's happening. You're like,
oh yeah, there was. Yeah, I mean, I'd be beside myself, man. I mean, I'd be like, yeah, baby, because I just love that. No, I love kidding. That stuff and all that. Yeah. Yeah. So I thought that would be interesting. You know, a lot of people would freak out. Yeah, it would tear up the oceans a little bit. Waves would be a little bit tied in and out, probably a little bit more so. Jeez, hold on. I'm choking on moon dust. Hold on.
Oh, okay.
There. Jeez, Louise. Woo. Right. But I thought that would be awesome. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm all right. I'm right. Well, what triggers that is that movie that's coming out called Moonfall. Moonfall, where the moon actually comes in and collides with the Earth. Now, the more I looked into that, it has something to do with aliens. Why does it always have to do with aliens, you know? Come on. You know, it doesn't have to be aliens all the time. Jeez.
Aliens or zombies.
Yeah, aliens or exactly. Aliens or zombies. Yeah, aliens or zombies, you know. I never seen that Bruce movie. Almighty. Bruce Almighty when he brought the moon closer.
Bits and pieces of it. So I'd have to watch the whole thing.
Oh yeah, that would be I have to, and isn't that who's in that? Isn't that
weird guy.
Is that Jim Carrey?
Yes, Jim Carrey. Yeah.
Jim Carrey and Morgan,
I believe. And Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman.
I think Jennifer Aniston's also in it too.
Yes. That his wife, movie. Right?
And Morgan Freeman is God.
Yeah. And Jennifer Aniston plays his wife, Eric?
The wife or girlfriend, I'm thinking, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Significant other, something, yeah. Girlfriend, okay. Yeah. I haven't seen the whole thing. I just remember them together or something. I don't know.
Huh. I'll have to check that out.
I'll
have to check that out. I never saw that movie. Yeah. Hey, did you guys know? Did you hear about the new broom? The new broom for sale.
Oh,
they got a new broom. It's a new broom for sale.
Okay, yeah. What's the joke? Okay. What is it? What's the joke? What's the punchline?
What do you mean it, what's the joke? What? Always, everything always had to be a joke? Yeah. Well, it's sweeping the nation.
See, I was right. His dog pees standing on the toilet. I do remember that. I remember that.
Oh, I have to see that movie. That's something. Hey, so I was watching this thing, and it's been labeled the greatest car chase in cinematic history.
Oh,
the greatest car chase, and it's the car chase in Bullet, Steve McQueen, Bullet. I know you guys have seen it. I don't know if you've seen it before, Dina Jo.
No.
But I watched that. I watched it again today because they were saying something about it. And you know that is a 10-minute. That is 10 minutes of that movie, that chase scene in Bullet. 10 minutes, and it is by far, in my opinion, the greatest car chase in cinematic history. Bullet. Yeah. There you go.
Oh. Yeah. Oh. I have something to say. get your gingerbread houses while you can. I've seen them at the store now. Oh. You're gonna make one and enter it in our little gingerbread contest with, you know, we gotta have a little ribbon or something we can send around to people. Maybe a little first place ribbon. We gotta find
something to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, the only thing is we'll pick the date that it has to be in by coming up soon. But the only restriction is it cannot be pre-made, because you can buy them and they're already put together. All you have to do is decorate them. No. You have to buy one that's flat or make it yourself and put it together and submit it. And we're going to have a little contest. It's going to be fun. But I hear that they are going fast and there's not many of them. So
get out there and buy your kits now. Buy your kits now.
Yeah.
And I think we kick that off at the 1st of December, don't we? I think we do.
Sure.
I
have to look. Start making them. Yeah.
Yeah. But make sure you get out there and get those kits. I'll remind Grammy so she can get them and get our kits out. And are you saying that our gingerbread contest is rigged, Mr. T? It is not rigged.
I think so too.
Dina Jo, how dare you?
I do.
See, man, our judge Man Cave needs to come back on the show.
That's why I said his wife needs to, his girlfriend, his missus needs to help out too. Mm-hmm.
Just because your Lewis won and the old man came in second doesn't mean that it was rigged.
We'll have to have them in someday, the week before Christmas, and I think that's the week of the 20th. So maybe the 20, 21st, or 22nd, we'll have to have those in before Christmas so we can do that. It's fun. See, even Jess, we need an independent judge. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. We lost the old man. Fast.
Gotta go fast, man. And just have a lot of fun with it. Get enough kits that your kids can help and make their own. Make their own. It's fun. It is so much fun.
It was fun because last year was the first year we have ever done them. So yes, it is. That was the reason why we did it, and we're going to continue to do it. It was a good time.
We're having our second annual gingerbread house build off.
Yes, welcome
for Christmas. Hey, if you're new to the show, hit that follow button for us and come on back. We're here Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. We're the Old Man's Podcast Show with Dina, Joe, and Eric. And we're your alarm clock. We're your knocker-uppers.
Oh, my word. I know. I don't know.
I am not going to stop. I'm bringing that term back. I'm bringing that back.
Knocker-uppers.
Oh, second ring. Oh, come on, T-Bone. Don't make me call your mom. T-Bone, did you enter one last year? Did you enter one? I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't know if he did.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was me, Lewis, you, Grammy, Jess, his family, and Rich's family.
Didn't J-Baby do it too? I'm not sure. I've got the list someplace. Yeah.
And the pictures are on our website, on our Facebook for sure.
Yeah. We'll check it out. For those of you that are wondering, I come across the term knocked up In the old English language, when I was reading Sir Conan Doyle's books, his Sherlock Holmes books, and I was reading, and the guy comes and goes, he knocks on Sherlock Holmes's door early in the morning, and Sherlock comes and answers the door, and he goes, "I'm sorry, mate, did I knock you up?" And I went, "What? What is that?" So I did a knocked up was meaning wake you up. Did he wake you up? Are you knocked up? Are you awoke? Are you awake? And they used to have knocker-uppers that would go around, throw pebbles on your windows in the morning to wake you up. They were like the little alarm clocks. So that's what we're talking about. I'm trying to bring that terminology back. It doesn't mean getting impregnated.
Oh, my God.
Baby. It means about being woke up, like with an alarm clock.
Like being woke. You woke. You woke now. Yeah, you woke.
And on that, we're out of here.
Oh, my Lord.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in and joining us this morning. It's been fun, a lot of blasts. It's been a blast, man. It's been a blast. Good to have you guys here. And we're just thankful that you tune in and make us your podcast first thing in the morning. Eric, is there some shows you want to plug that are coming on today?
Well, today on Podbean, you've got John Gale, and then you've also got, I presume, Joe Antonio will be on this afternoon, so be on lookout for him, and also be on lookout for Milk Dog and other interesting friends. And then prime time, you got Slightly Serious at 9:30, and the It's Doomsday podcast late night tonight, and other friends maybe coming on today and tomorrow. And I know we'll be back with our Friday edition of our morning show and our Friday music show, and hopefully Ralph and DeGray Area and Frankie D and a few other friends are in there to wrap up the week.
Yeah. Thanks, Eric. Jess says her old English word is knackered. It means very tired and exhausted. I like that. Aww, I like that, knackered.
Poor girl.
And DeGray is making a note that he is over 7,500 followers on TikTok. Are you kidding me?
Man,
you were just at 6,000 not too long ago. The guy's TikTok, his TikTok thing is exploding. It is exploding. Good job. Good job, DeGray. It is very entertaining, and it's good stuff. Good stuff. Man, what a great day. I want to thank everybody. Like I said, if you're new to the show, hit the follow button. We are going to be here. We are going to be here tomorrow at 7. Yeah, that guy got in and out of here before I could block him. Anyway, appreciate everybody coming in and checking us out. Don't forget, tomorrow's our Friday show. Tomorrow's Friday. Come on in and join the Friday show. And, man, Thanksgiving's just around the corner. Production notes, we're only having 3 shows next week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We're off for Thanksgiving so we can spend time with our families and have a good time. And don't forget, Monday, our 400th show.
Oh, my gosh.
Monday,
awesome.
400.
Thank
join
you all.
In.
Thank you all.
And just have a blast, man. It's going to be a lot.
Wednesday, cooking with Dina, Joe, and Grammy.
Thank you.
And Wednesday, yes, Eric, thank you, buddy. Wednesday, cooking with Dina, Joe, and Eric.
Dina, Joe, and Grammy.
Eric will be there. Dina, Joe, and Grammy on Wednesday, their Thanksgiving
special. And email your recipe ideas, to theoldmanspodcast@gmail.com, and we will feature them on the show and on the social media presence.
Uh-huh. And yes, be the reason someone smiles today. Like, you're
smiling. Wait, I didn't give you the music. Hold on a second. Hold on. Here's your, there's your music. I couldn't interrupt Eric.
Someone smiles today. Let your smile change the world, but don't let the world change your smile. We love you guys. Thanks so much for joining us. The music has stopped. We will see you later. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye.
It hasn't stopped. I stopped it so I could ring your little princess music.
Oh.
Thanks, everybody. Now the music's coming to an end, and we're out of here. Thanks for joining us. Have a great Thursday.
Guys.
And we'll see you on Friday. Thanks, everybody.
Well, we'll see you all later, everybody.
Later, Gators.